Good Thursday afternoon, all. This is Bill Allen coming to you from Tyler, Texas, on a warm, sunny summer day, typical for this time of year. You could pretty well guess the weather every day: highs in the 90s, lows in the upper 70s or mid 70s to upper 70s, 20% chance of rain, which means it probably won't. And that's pretty much every day for a while, but it's a blessing to be in a nice climate, to be in a warm and dry place. A lot of folks don't have that blessing, and I'm kind of a warm weather summer kind of guy, so I'm okay with that. Glad to have you joining in today. We are going through the book of First Peter and have really one, we're down to our last chapter, but we're taking our time through it because this passage in 1 Peter chapter 5 is a very significant passage because it speaks to the leaders of the church. It speaks not just about them, but it speaks to them. It speaks to those who are called elders, and it uses a few different terms in 1 Peter 5 as well as throughout Scripture, and that is the term elder and the term shepherd or pastor. That also refers to the elders and also the term overseer or bishop. And it's that last one that we are going to be looking at today. It is the term episkopos or episkopuntis. And obviously, it sounds a lot like the term episcopal, as in the Episcopal Church. And the idea of that term is watching over something, looking over something. And this term, like the term shepherd or pastor, can be used as a noun and a verb, talking about those who watch over people, those who are overseers, or telling them to oversee them, watch over them. And that's the way it's used in a few places in Scripture. And we're going to look at those places today, but we're going to start where we've been over the last several lessons, and will be for, I think, maybe one more after this. And that is in 1 Peter chapter 5, starting in verse 1. 1 Peter 5, verse 1. And as we go through the lesson today, again, keep in your mind that we're talking about the elders of the church. We're not talking about the preacher. We're not talking about other ministers. They do some of this kind of work. But as we look at these terms, as we did over the last few lessons, if you didn't hear those, I hope you'll go back and listen to them, because this passage speaks to a specific group of men who are designated by the church to be their elders. They're not just older men, they are considered to be older men, and we're going to read a couple of passages that help us see that today. But they're considered to be elders. That's a relative term for obvious reasons. Different cultures would consider a man who would qualify as an elder differently, based on their cultural setting and the makeup of their own congregation. But these men are elders, and they're described as shepherds or pastors. Pastor in the scripture is not a specific term or title that is used to designate the preacher. It is a term that is used to designate the elders, the pastors, or the shepherds. We talked about that this past Tuesday. And today we're looking at that term overseers or bishops. Bishop, it's always in the plural, elders, shepherds, bishops, when they're referring to the leaders of the church in this specific group, it's always in the plural. There's never just one. And that's by design, I'm sure, because God wants more than one so that they can be accountable to each other, as well as allow the church to be accountable to them. And so let's look at this term, overseers or bishops, in 1 Peter chapter 5. First of all, we'll read the verses 1 through 4. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder. Remember, Peter was not just talking to elders, he was talking to them as a fellow elder. The Apostle Peter was also an elder in the church himself, which made him a shepherd or pastor in the church. But it also made him an overseer or bishop in the church, not in the way the Roman Catholic Church sees bishops and archbishops, but rather in the way that the New Testament talks about them as the same men who serve as elders or shepherds are the ones who serve as overseers or bishops. Again, 1 Peter 5, verse 1. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock. That's the term we talked about on Tuesday. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them. That's the term. Watching over them. It's used as a verb or an adverb. It's calling on elders to be overseers. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, verse 2, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd, that's a similar term to the term shepherd or pastor, but in this case it's talking about Jesus. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. So we have this term, watching over them. And it is the same term that is in a different form, is the term overseers or bishops. They are overseers. They watch over. And this term is less about doing things themselves and more about them mentoring others and delegating to others, being that example. And they don't do everything, but they are called upon to oversee the things that the church believes and teaches and practices and does. That's the job of the elders. They are the overseers. And it's a great burden, and that's why we pray for our elders constantly. Every day you should pray for those who serve your church as elders or shepherds or overseers, because their job is a big one. It's a very responsible role. And I know all of the elders that I have ever worked under in now, let's say, 47, almost 47 years of full-time ministry. All the elders that I have served with were good men. I didn't always agree with them, and that's true where I am now too. It's been true everywhere. I'm sure that's the same for you. I haven't agreed with them at every step, but I've never doubted their love for God, their love for Christ, their love for His Word, and their love for the church. And so these men take their chore and calling as an elder, as a shepherd, as an overseer, very seriously. They put a lot of prayer into it. They talk with each other and discuss things and try to come up with exactly what they understand the Holy Spirit is leading them to do based on their study of God's Word and their discussions with each other and with others, certainly members of the church. Be shepherds, verse 2 of 1 Peter 5, of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them. And so let's look at a few other passages that use this same term. We see, first of all, this passage in 1 Timothy 3. 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1 are passages where we find specifically those qualities that are given that the men who are serving as elders or would serve as elders must fulfill. And so let's read 1 Timothy 3, starting in verse 1. Here is a trustworthy saying, faithful is the word. Whoever aspires to be an overseer, there's our word. Whoever aspires to be an overseer or bishop. Some versions even have a footnote that says, or bishop. Whoever aspires to be an overseer desires a noble task. Now listen to the quality of person that this is. 1 Timothy 3, verse 2, now the overseer, that uses that term again, now the overseer is to be above reproach, faithful to his wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him, and he must do so in a manner worthy of full respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? Verse 5 asks. He must not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. He must also have a good reputation with others so that he will not fall into disgrace and into the devil's trap. Sometimes we call these characteristics or qualifications, but I like using this passage to talk about the kind of character that an elder or a bishop or an overseer, a shepherd, a pastor of the church must have. They must have a certain kind of character. They must be men of integrity. It's not just qualifications, but quality. The quality of man, the qualities they possess. And it's a noble task, Paul says, first of all, that this overseer should desire. He does it willingly, not by force. And he's not doing it for ill purposes. He's not doing it to toot his own horn or to ring his own bell or to have people say how great he is. It's a service, and it's a hard service. It's a calling. And so an overseer desires a noble task if he aspires to that role, and he must be above reproach, first of all. Throughout this list and the one in Titus 1 that we'll see in a moment, it reminds us of the quality of man this must be. And one of the things that it hits several times is that they are men of good reputation. They are above reproach. It doesn't mean they're sinless, doesn't mean they're perfect, doesn't mean that they never do things wrong or that they never make a wrong decision. That's part of being human, but it does mean that they are men who are above reproach. They have a good reputation. They have the trust of the congregation. And that's one of the reasons, as Paul says here, that they need to have some years on them. They need to be old enough for the church to consider them as elders. I've had churches that have called on men who were relatively young to serve as elders, but they all had a wife and they had children that were old enough to have chosen to believe in Jesus Christ. And they were old enough to where these characteristics could demonstrate the kind of quality and character that they had. Again, above reproach, faithful to his wife, they're good husbands, faithful husbands, they're good fathers, faithful fathers, temperate, self-controlled, respectable. Again, that idea of being above reproach, hospitable, they're willing to share, able to teach. They may not all teach, but they're willing to if needed and are able to. Not given to drunkenness. Of course, they're not drinkers. Not violent, but gentle. They're gentle. And that's important for a shepherd. Not quarrelsome. Boy, that's important. If they have a desire to stir up trouble, that's not the kind of personality that you want in the eldership. Believe me, I know. Not a lover of money. They're not in this for the money. And in the first century, especially, that was a concern. But it's also a concern today. Because even if they're not drawing a salary from the church, there could be some things going on there that cause them to play into the decisions that they might make. Manages his own family well, his children obey him, they are respectful, and that's a good thing, that's an important thing. And again, you look at a man's family and you say, well, this is a man that's going to lead the church. How is he leading in his home? Very important. Not a recent convert. He needs to have some experience on him, not just in life, but in the church, in the world of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. And again, a good reputation with outsiders. Well, that's Paul's list in 1 Timothy 3. Let's look at a similar list in Titus 1 because the word appears there too. Titus 1, verse 5, Paul writes to his young protege Titus, "The reason I left you on the island of Crete was that you might put in order what was left unfinished and appoint elders in every town as I directed you." That's a term we looked at last week. An elder must be blameless, faithful to his wife, a man whose children believe and are not open to the charge of being wild and disobedient. All of those very similar to Paul in 1 Timothy 3. Verse 7, since an overseer, there's our word. It's used interchangeably with the term elder, as we saw in verse 5 and 6, but also the term shepherd or pastor. We'll see that in Acts 20 in just a moment. Titus 1, verse 7, since an overseer manages God's household, he must be blameless. Again, not sinless, but blameless. Not overbearing. Boy, you sure don't want that in an elder. Not overbearing, not quick-tempered, not given to drunkenness, again, not violent, not pursuing dishonest gain. We need good men to oversee the church, to be the bishops, the pastors, the elders, the overseers. Verse 8, that's the thou shalt nots. Now the thou shalt's, verse 8, rather, he must be hospitable, one who loves what is good. What a great statement. Who is self-controlled, so important for all of us, but especially those who are overseers of the church. Upright, the righteous man, again, not sinless, not perfect, but upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, verse 9 says, so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine or healthy teaching and refute those who oppose it. And then Paul goes on to say in Titus 1 that on the island of Crete, you needed that kind of man because there were so many false teachers out there and people that were trying to distort the gospel. Boy, isn't it a good thing we don't have that going on today? Ha ha. We need elders, overseers, pastors, shepherds who are men who know the word and who are committed to seeking to live out that word themselves, but also seeking to oversee the church as the church seeks in its life and ministry to live out that same word of God. An overseer, verse 7, manages God's household. And so an overseer doesn't do everything, an elder doesn't do everything, but rather he does oversee the church, the elders as a group oversee the life and ministry and work of God's church in that individual congregation. And we see an example of that in Acts chapter 20. Paul is on his mission journey. He's sending word to the church at Ephesus, a city in western modern-day Turkey, to meet him on an island just off the coast there in the Mediterranean Sea, on the island of Miletus. And so in Acts 20, verse 17, Luke records, the writer of the Gospel of Luke, but also the book of Acts, Acts 20, verse 17, from Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. So that's that term presbyteros from presbyteros. It's the term that is translated elders. And now he's meeting with them and he's talking to them. And I want us to focus on Acts 20, verse 28. He says this, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. What an important statement. Keep watch over yourselves. They have to watch over themselves, first of all. But Paul says, and all the flock, that's related to the term shepherd, all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. So in this passage in Acts 20, we see those three words, elders, shepherds or pastors, and overseers or bishops used interchangeably. They're talking about the same group of men. These are the men that the congregation has selected through the guidance of the Holy Spirit to serve as overseers of the church. Keep watch, again, Acts 20, verse 28. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. That church at Ephesus, that one congregation, was the church that Jesus bought with his own blood. And the church where you go is the same. The West Erwin Church of Christ is the same. And if Paul were writing this letter, if he were meeting with our elders, with our shepherds, with our overseers, he would say, keep watch over yourselves and all of the West Erwin flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the West Erwin Church of Christ, which he bought with his own blood. Boy, isn't that powerful? I know our elders feel that burden very heavily. They spend a lot of time in prayer and with the congregation and discussing with each other and with others the work of the church here. What a great verse. This passage in Acts chapter 20 employs all of those terms, the term elder, the term shepherds or pastors, the term bishops or overseers. Why? Because those men were overseeing the church at Ephesus, that one congregation. Such a powerful, powerful statement. And then one more today. I think this is such a great verse. It almost sneaks up on you, but I think it's so important in understanding the structure of the early church. The book of Philippians, Paul is writing. He is under house arrest, as best I can tell, in the city of Rome, waiting. He has appealed to Caesar, who is Nero, to be able to be taken out of being accused of all of the things that the Jews and the Romans were accusing him of. And so Paul, in writing to the church at Philippi, that's in modern-day Greece, the church at Philippi was one of the churches that supported Paul, and he writes to them, and as he writes to them, he addresses them in Philippians chapter 1 in this way: Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons. And that is a good translation because that is our term in chapter 1, verse 1 of Philippians, overseers. Paul is writing, Timothy is there with him, and he writes to all of God's holy people. We might translate that saints, the holy ones, in Christ Jesus at Philippi, that city in modern-day Greece, together with the overseers and deacons. And so at a very early stage, the church has perhaps been around for maybe 30 years or so. And they already have that structure in place. And it had been in place for a long time, as we saw from previous lessons. We see the term elders used very early in the book of Acts in the church's existence. And here, Paul mentions all the people, all of the holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, the church there, together with the overseers and deacons. So he's writing to the church, and he specifically mentions a part of that church, their leaders. And those were the overseers and the deacons. It's such an important passage. It's important for us to see that structure so early in the church's existence, and it's important for us to be able to see Paul's use of this term overseer. The church at Philippi had elders or shepherds or overseers. All three of those terms would apply to the same group of men, and Paul calls them out and includes them in his greeting, as he does with the deacons, another group of men who serve as servant leaders in the church, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons. Apologize about the phone, but sometimes that's just the way it happens. And so as we're talking about this group of Christians at Philippi, Paul mentions the whole church. But then he specifically mentions a part of that church, the overseers and deacons. These were men, the overseers, who did not run the church. They did not control the church, but they were certainly men who were overseers, who were shepherds, who were elders. And that's what we see. The idea of overseer or bishop, again, is someone that's eager to serve and willing to lead. And it's not people who are committed, who are responsible to do everything, but rather they are responsible to oversee the work of the church as the church members, the saints, the Christians, the disciples within that congregation do the work of the life and ministry of that particular congregation. We read chapters like Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, so many other passages that talk about how the church has many roles with people with many different gifts and interests and passions. And that's what it takes. It takes a diversity among the church so that they can do the diverse number of tasks that God has called us to do and to serve in. I couldn't begin to list all of the great things that this church, West Irwin Church of Christ in Tyler, Texas, is involved in. There's no way I could remember them all. And that's as it's supposed to be, but who oversees all of that? Not does all of those things, but oversees it. Well, that's the elders. That's the bishops. That's the pastors, the shepherds of the church, the elders of the church, or as we have seen today, the overseers. They're examples. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 5 that they are examples to the flock. And we're going to mention that on Tuesday as we look at one more lesson about Peter and the elders, or shepherds, pastors, or overseers, bishops of the church, and what he calls on them to be and to do. And we're going to see how that played out in Peter's life as a disciple himself. That will be next week on Tuesday. I hope and pray that you've been studying and thinking and considering and praying over these lessons on the church's leaders, the elders, the pastor shepherds, the bishops or overseers of God's church. And I hope that you're in prayer for these men and their families who have accepted the call of the Holy Spirit and the church to fill this vital role in your church, in your congregation. God bless you. Have a wonderful weekend, and I look forward to seeing you, if not at church on Sunday, or online on Sunday. I'll see you next Tuesday in our next Facebook study. God bless.